You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The four-game losing streak is over, and not a moment too soon. The Sacramento Kings open up a favorable stretch of games with a dominant win over the Orlando Magic in Sacramento last night inside the Golden 1 Center, and the final score wasn't even this close, 111-95. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for highlights, in-depth breakdowns and analysis, conversation, interviews, we have it all right here for you. It's the perfect place if you call yourself a dedicated and diehard Sacramento Kings fan, much like I am. Hello, my name is Matt George. I work for Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and a reporter. I grew up a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings team. I got to really experience the best that basketball has to offer as a kid, being able to watch the Kings of the late 90s and early 2000s get robbed of a championship, yes, but play and be the greatest show on court that we all know they are. And the Kings trying to get back to those days and build back to that legacy slowly but surely. Another step in the right direction towards breaking the playoff drought and making their way into the postseason with a win at home, and doing so in a way that they were supposed to from start to finish. It was a fantastic game, exactly what you want from the Sacramento Kings, taking on a weaker Eastern Conference opponent. Now, I think the Orlando Magic are significantly more talented than they have shown so far this season, and certainly than they showed last night. I like a lot of the pieces that they have. I'm a fan of Aaron Gordon. He had a bad night. I'm a fan of Nikola Vucevic. He had a decent night. I'm also a big fan of Jonathan Isaac. I think he can turn into something very, very special. Mo Bamba is a very raw prospect, but has a lot of upside potentially. So I don't hate the Orlando Magic and their roster. However, we know that they're not nearly as far along in their build and in their development than the Sacramento Kings are. The Kings have been playing well against Eastern Conference opponents all season long, and coming out of that 13-game stretch where even though they did lose a good handful of the games, and even though they were on a four-game losing streak, in those four games, for the most part, they've been playing very, very well. And last night was no different. I think the Sacramento Kings actually honestly played worse last night than they did in both the Denver Nuggets loss and the Golden State Warriors loss. But thankfully, like I said on yesterday's podcast and like I tweeted heading into the night, if the Kings played about 75% as well as they played against the Warriors and against the Nuggets, then they should have won that game pretty comfortably, and they absolutely did. Again, the final score, don't let it trick you. If you didn't watch the game, you would think 111-95 was actually a little bit closer than what it really was. With the exception of the first quarter, where the Kings led by just 4 points going into the end of the first quarter break at 29-25, the game wasn't close. Kings outscored the Magic 29-17 in the second quarter, 32-20 in the third quarter. It was the return of Marvin Bagley, so we have that to talk about. I'll share with you some of my biggest takeaways. I have two calls for you that I'm going to be playing in just a second from Christian and John. They weighed in on last night's win. We're going to talk about the rumors in the news. There's an article that was put out by James Hamm of NBC Sports California, and they talked about the potential rumors and the connection of head coach Dave Yeager to the now vacant and open Minnesota Timberwolves coaching position. So we'll address that, as Dave Yeager was asked about that before the game and commented on that. I'll share my thoughts and my feelings on all of that. And then we'll wrap up previewing the Kings and Suns tonight, as the Sacramento Kings are in Phoenix to take on the Suns for the second time this season. Kings won pretty comfortably in game one between these two teams so far this year, and based off of the comfortable and limited minutes that the Kings starters for the most part played last night, I expect more of the same success against Phoenix, even though it is on the road. So a lot to get to. Let's dive right in, and we'll actually start with some of your feedback, some of your thoughts, some of your calls. We launched in 2019 the brand new Locked On Kings podcast voice mailbox. You can call in at anytime, whether it's before a game, after a podcast. If anything sparks your interest, any questions that come to mind that you want to share with me, the phone line is probably one of the best ways to do it, to be able to express yourself as well as you can. It's easy to express yourself, or easy to rather lose your tone or your message sometimes in a character limit on Twitter, or even in email just through written words. So I'm glad that so many have started to take advantage here of the Locked On podcast or Locked On Kings podcast voicemail. And if you want to be a part of that and do that at any time, you can call the number 909-566-0232. Leave your message right there, and you have an opportunity like these two to be featured here on the podcast. But let's start with Christian's takeaways from last night's Kings win over the Orlando Magic.
This is Christian, and I wanted to comment on the game tonight. I was there, and thought they did a really good job of bouncing back after all these losses. It wasn't the prettiest game. 3-point percentage wasn't great, obviously, but good to see them get back in the win column, and I think everybody, fans, players included, really really needed to get this win just to get the morale back up. And looking forward to the next stretch of 5-6 games when they're, besides the Blazers, playing pretty much all teams under 500. So looking forward to get some more wins back in the column, and ready to enjoy a winning streak, hopefully.
Christian, thank you so much for the call, and you're absolutely right. It wasn't the prettiest game or best game by the Kings by any means, and you brought up the three-point percentage. Coming off of the Kings' franchise record 20 three-pointers over the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, Kings managed just 10, and it's weird to say just 10, but the Kings only went 10 for 34 from three-point range. They shot 29%. From deep, so it certainly wasn't their best game from deep. Where it was a fantastic game for them, and where I really give the Kings a lot of credit, is the Orlando Magic, at least interior defensive wise, are not a bad team. They usually do a pretty good job protecting the paint. However, the Kings were absolutely dominant inside the paint. They finished with 64 points in the restricted area, or around the basket, around the rim, and around the restricted area. The Kings were playing downhill, attacking the basket, getting out in transition, and that's really where they created a lot of their separation. But like Christian said, it wasn't the greatest game by any means, and that's why I said at the beginning of the podcast that I think the Kings only played about 60-70% of their potential, if their potential or their best game or best ability is how well they played against either Denver or against the Golden State Warriors. The Kings weren't nearly that sharp, weren't nearly that good, and still they were able to beat the Orlando Magic and do so comfortably. A lot of that had to do with the production from basically everybody, top to bottom. Coming off the bench, you had the return of Marvin Bagley, which was absolutely fantastic. It was good to see him back there, and I was excited to be able to watch him and see him back on the floor. He was definitely giddy to get back out there, and you could tell in the first couple of minutes he came out with a lot of energy, was running back and forth, then got winded pretty quickly, and he said as much after the game, saying, "I got kind of tired as I worked my way back into the flow of things." He played a total of 20 minutes last night, finished with 8 points and 6 rebounds, also an assist and a block in just 20 minutes. But also, Harry Giles came off the bench and established himself well. Another great game for him, 17 minutes. He had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, a steal. He was all over the stat column, showed off some of that passing ability, and Dave Yeager mentioned as much after the game, saying that just some of his passes, all you can do is just shake your head and just say wow. And I know he lit up the fans in a lot of different ways with his passing ability, and he has shown that ability more and more as he's looked more comfortable over these last few games when he's getting more minutes and being able to stay out of foul trouble and stay on the floor. De'Aaron Fox was the leader for the Kings with 20 points, a great bounce back game for him, and I thought it was interesting. One of the things that he said following the game was that this was the first game in a while that he has been or has felt 100% healthy coming in. Now, he did deal with those two injuries early on against the Golden State Warriors, kind of tweaked his ankle a little bit, and then took that stinger to the back of one of his legs. He seems to be okay, got some rest, and that didn't hinder him at all. He's been coming off of two kind of rough performances against Denver and against Golden State, so to see him come out and be aggressive right from the get-go is fantastic. He only played 23 minutes, and he had 20 points. 5 steals, a couple of assists, a few rebounds as well. So De'Aaron Fox was all over the place, and he really filled up the scoring column also. Let's take a listen to John's thoughts on this Kings win.
Hey, Matt, George, this is John Mark Van Ass. I was at the game tonight with a couple friends from William Jessup, and I just wanted to say, what a game. What a game. I think Marvin Bagley coming back, getting interior rebounds on the offensive defense made all the difference tonight for the Kings. I think we see why they picked him over Luka Doncic. I think he does a lot that Luka can't do, as well as he doesn't take the ball away from De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. So having him back, I think, is huge, especially on the interior defense and the interior offense. And I think that's what made all the difference tonight. And I think having him back, I think, is going to carry this momentum into Phoenix and hopefully on for the rest of the season, because this team is back over 500 and we are in ninth place and we're looking pretty good. So great game tonight. Great job having Marvin Bagley back. And I'm looking forward to more games, more Kings wins in the future.
John, I appreciate the phone call, and I'm glad you had a good time at the game last night. I appreciate the shout-out also for William Jessup University, my alma mater from Rocklin, California. So, again, I'm glad that you and some Jessup buddies got to go out and have a good time at the game. And he brought up Marvin Bagley, and now he said some things about pro Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic. I'm personally glad that, unfortunately, with Marvin Bagley's injury, that conversation has kind of taken a step back a little bit. We're not really comparing the two as much as we were earlier on in the season, but he's right in some things. Marvin Bagley, what he brings just as a rebounder and as a presence inside the paint is different from what Luka Doncic brings, although what Luka is doing offensively and being that leader for the Dallas Mavericks, he's having a fantastic season in my mind, above and beyond the rookie of the year this year. But like I've said before, and I've said on this podcast, I think the NBA got the best of both worlds. I think the Kings are very happy with their pick. I know the Dallas Mavericks are very happy with their pick, and everything seems to be working out swimmingly for both sides. But with Marvin Bagley coming back specifically, you saw the presence that he has inside, just having him there, just having that athletic body. He changes shots. He does help protect the rim, and he's just also a hustle rebounder, and he plays with that energy and that fire that the Kings were really lacking without him in the lineup. Now, he didn't fill up any statistical column by any means, 8.6 rebounds. He also rushed some shots, went just 2 of 7 from the field at times, was a bit out of control as he gets his way back into the flow of things. But if in 20 minutes in his first game back, he's able to put up those kind of numbers, pull down 6 rebounds, just imagine what he can do once he gets back into the flow and once he gets into a 30-plus points per or minutes per game rotation per night. You're going to see double-double Marvin Bagley and consistently a change and a necessary change and a needed change for the Kings in the rebound battle and in the rebound differential. The Orlando Magic have some solid rebounders of their own. Nikola Vucevic had himself a great game with a double-double. Willie Cauley-Stein, I thought, also played fantastic as well. 11 points, 11 rebounds. He had a strong double-double in his own right, and he played only 18 minutes to get those points. 11 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists on 5 of 11 shooting in just 18 minutes. He played the fewest minutes out of any starter. So he had himself a strong night. Ultimately, overall, though, the rebound battle was in favor of the Kings, 65-57. How many times have we said that so far this year? The Kings only allowed 5 offensive rebounds in this game, which is a massive breath of fresh air. So like John said there in the call, having Bagley back and having that rebounding and that gang rebounding made all the difference. I was very excited and glad to see both Bagley and Harry Giles playing consistently and playing together. Harry Giles wasn't the first big off the bench like he has been in the past couple of games. Kosta Kufos was, but in my opinion, that was because of the Nikola Vucevic matchup. I wouldn't be too concerned, Kings fans, about Harry Giles taking a backseat to Bagley and to Kosta Kufos unless matchup demands it. He has earned consistent minutes, and I know the Kings are going to be trying to get him, and Dave Yeager is going to be trying to get him involved more and more. Speaking of Dave Yeager, lots of news and plenty of rumors to talk about in regards to the Minnesota Timberwolves conversation and the open head coach vacancy there. Will Dave Yeager potentially go and leave the Kings for his hometown? And is there anything the Kings can do to prevent it? If you don't know who James Zamm is and you don't follow him, you absolutely need to. He's a fantastic Sacramento Kings insider for NBC Sports California and NBC Sports Bay Area. He's been covering the Kings for quite some time, and he wrote and released an article last night about head coach Dave Joerger and about some of the comments that he made pregame about the open Minnesota Timberwolves coaching vacancy. Now, head coach Dave Joerger for the Kings, initially when he was with Memphis, after his first year with Memphis, interviewed with the Minnesota Timberwolves for their open coaching vacancy at the time a number of years ago, and then ended up staying in Memphis. And then, of course, we all know he became the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, and he is largely responsible for why the Kings are off to the 20-20 start and are showing the growth that they are so far this season. But we heard that the Minnesota Timberwolves had fired head coach Tom Thibodeau, and we know that being a Minnesota boy, Dave Joerger has always kept ties with that Minnesota Timberwolves franchise, and they are in somewhat of a similar boat to the Kings, maybe even further along with Karl-Anthony Towns and a young core. They're continuing to try and develop into a consistent playoff presence and potentially a contender down the road, and Dave Joerger has shown already with the Sacramento Kings that he can maximize talent and can help develop talent the right way. So I absolutely know that there is interest from the Minnesota Timberwolves to potentially have Dave Joerger fill that spot and become their head coach for the future. Dave Joerger is, of course, currently under contract with the Sacramento Kings, but has not received any kind of extension as of yet. And you have to really consider and pay attention to this saga and how more things develop. If it were me, and if I were Vlade, and if I were the Sacramento Kings, I'd be doing everything in my power right now to get an extension done, to sign the dotted line, and remove the conversation altogether. Dave Joerger has deserved an extension, so has his entire coaching staff, based off of the growth that they've shown this year. I think it would be a disaster for the Kings to lose Dave Joerger to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I also don't believe that Dave Joerger is as focused on that as people may be worried about. He was asked about it before last night's game, and here's what he had to say. He said a lot of stuff, but the main chunk of the quote is what he said is, obviously, I'm a Minnesota kid, so it's interesting, but at the same time, my focus is right here, right now. I mean, we're having a great time with our guys. We're watching them grow every day. I feel like I've worked my tail off. I know the players have and the coaching staff to put us in a position where we have tremendous chemistry. I will say this first and foremost. Reading this quote and hearing this quote, it didn't leave the best feeling in my stomach in terms of Dave Joerger is absolutely 100% committed to the Kings and is not interested in the Minnesota Timberwolves job, because that would be disingenuous for him to share that kind of message. Of course, he has ties and connections and a certain interest level with the Minnesota job. Now, we don't know specifically what is in his heart, how much he would potentially want that Minnesota job, but we do know it's his hometown. We know they're a young squad that has very, very nice pieces, Karl-Anthony Towns being the chief piece of those. He did interview for the Minnesota Timberwolves job a number of years ago before they hired Tom Thibodeau, and he ended up staying in Memphis with the Grizzlies, and then we know he became the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Of course, there is a certain level of interest with head coach Dave Joerger to keep ties on and be interested in and keep an ear out on what is going on in Minnesota and if potentially that would be a good spot for him to land. For him to say he's not doing that, and for him not to be interested or to at least keep ties and tabs on what's going on would not only be a disservice to fans and for him to be lying to fans, he'd be really lying to himself, because of course he's going to be interested in what things are happening there. And if it's a better situation for him, if he interviews, they're willing to pay him more, give him a better situation, more or longer, better contract, then it makes sense for him to want to go there or potentially go there. Now, I will say that from my interactions with Dave Joerger, I firmly believe that he enjoys it here in Sacramento. I also firmly believe that what he says is true, that he is focused for at least the remainder of this season and remainder of his contract here in Sacramento. He is focused on this Kings team, on this squad. He's not going to abandon and bail on these players that he's worked so hard to not just build their trust, but build their chemistry and mold them into this 20-and-20 product that we're seeing growth on a nightly basis. He's directly responsible for that, and he's not just going to give up that work and take a step away from that just because there might be a more interesting and enticing opportunity in Minnesota. He's certainly not going to turn his back on his players while he is still the head coach here just because there's another coaching vacancy available. He has also said on numerous occasions, even before this job became open, that he has enjoyed it here in Sacramento. He loves this crowd. He loves being here. He loves the community. Of course, I know Kings fans are going to clap back, and some fans are going to say, well, of course he's going to say that. What do you want him to badmouth the franchise and badmouth the organization? Of course, I don't expect him to badmouth the organization, but then again, there are members of the organization inside the front office that are willing to go behind his back and badmouth him anonymously to the media. So maybe he's still not quite over that, not too happy with that. And really, this might force the Kings to make a choice once and for all. We know that no firings were handed out that we were aware of after that incident. And the Kings, I thought, have done a brilliant job at brushing it under the rug a little bit and hiding it and making you forget about it and focusing back on what really matters, which is the play on the floor itself. But this might be the line in the sand being drawn, or the fork in the road, really, where you have to decide, are you going to go with Dave Joerger? Is Dave Joerger your guy, or is he not? If it was me right now, without hesitation, I'd do everything in my power to re-sign Dave Joerger and his entire coaching staff. What more do you need to see? Honestly, what more do you need to see? Even if the Kings stayed at 500 and don't make the playoffs for the remainder of the year, that's a monumentally successful year. That's growth. That's exactly what you were asking for. Vlade Divac, in my opinion, has already done enough this season, and the Kings have done enough this season for Vlade Divac to stay comfortable and to keep his job and not have to step down like he said he was going to if the Kings were not better. That's set in stone to me. Dave Joerger also, in my opinion, has done more than enough to prove that he is the right guy for this job. And remember, the Kings hired him immediately after he was fired from the Memphis Grizzlies because he was their guy. Vlade wanted him because he thought he was going to be the right pick for the Kings' development. And newsflash, development's not over. I mean, as much as we're enjoying what the Kings are doing right now, we haven't seen the best of De'Aaron Fox. We haven't maximized Buddy Hield, in my opinion. We haven't maximized Bogdan Bogdanovic and this core and this unit as a whole. Of course, Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley are just scratching the surface, not to mention the Kings haven't made the playoffs yet. His job is not done here. So why would you pull the plug on something when it's going right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, you can improve it, but you don't have to fix it. You don't have to fix the coaching staff right now with this Kings team. And honestly, from both a media perspective and from a fan's perspective, it's been a breath of fresh air to have the same same face, same voice, same guy, same philosophy at the front of the Kings bench consistently for the last few seasons. Sacramento has been a freaking coaching carousel for years, since Rick Adelman, and to have a consistent guy there, to not have to worry about firing him and looking for a new candidate that could help lead the Kings on the next saga of their plan, to be able to move on from that and to take that step forward, to me, is encouraging. Dave Joerger is the right guy for the position. Absolutely, you have to go out and absolutely you have to re-sign him and try to bring him back if you are able to. I think if the Kings did not, if they allowed him to walk without really putting up a fight or trying to get an extension done, I think that would be a colossal failure for this franchise. And I think the franchise owes it to Dave Joerger to choose him and make the right decision in choosing him over the those inside the front office that were maybe against him and were the ones speaking out to the media against him earlier on this season. Now, again, if Dave Joerger interviews with the Minnesota Timberwolves, by the way, because he's under contract, the Kings technically, I believe, are able to block him from interviewing, which is never a good idea, never a good decision. I don't believe Vlade and the Kings would do that, and hopefully they don't do that because I think that's a pretty shady thing to do, even though It's not always the best for an employee of a company to actively interview with another company and show interest with another company. Maybe that's not the best thing to do as well. But in the world and in the business of professional sports and in the NBA, and with there only being so many head coach positions on the planet and the turnover being as crazy as it is at times, I don't like when organizations personally step in the way of interviews and things like that. So I hope the Kings don't do that. But if he interviews with the Minnesota Timberwolves and it turns out that's the better situation, they make him an offer, the Kings make him an offer, and even if the Kings' offer is better than the Timberwolves or if it's worse, and Jaeger ends up choosing the Timberwolves, then I don't blame the Kings for that one bit. Dave Jaeger made the decision that was best for him. I certainly hope that he would elect to stay here in Sacramento. That's where his comments are a little uncomfortable and disconcerting. When you look at or when you hear him say it's interesting and that he's keeping ties on it, and then he mentions right here, right now, he's focused on staying with the Kings. So I get that kind of paranoia there by Kings fans, but ultimately he's going to make the decisions that's best for him, that's best for his family, that's best for his career, and hopefully the Kings can do everything that they can to make sure those decisions are here in Sacramento. Game 2 of this 8-game stretch now is your Sacramento Kings are in Phoenix to take on the Suns. And the last time these two teams met, the Kings won very comfortably. The Kings were also playing and taking on a very shorthanded Phoenix Suns team who was out without Devin Booker. It was still relatively early on in the season, and it was one of the Kings' most dominating wins of the season, and they're looking to try and build upon that here tonight. The final score in that game was back on December 4th, 122-105. It wasn't really that long ago. Buddy Hield led the Kings and led all scorers with 20 points in that game. And based off of the limited amount of minutes that the Kings played last night, now, Bogdan Bogdanovic played 32, and no other King played more than 25 minutes. Like I said, Willie Cauley-Stein played only 18 minutes. I believe Nemanja Bjelica just played barely over 20 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. The Kings should be rested enough heading into this contest to continue to build upon what they did last night and get another win. It would be good for them to sweep. It would be the second time this season that they've swept a back-to-back, which would be necessary. Yeah, looking at the minutes distribution here, the minutes breakdown, Nemanja Bjelica played 22 minutes, De'Aaron Fox only 23 minutes, Buddy Hield only 25 minutes, and Willie Cauley-Stein only 18 minutes. Also, no word on whether Iman Shumpert will be playing tonight, as he's been out with that sprained finger, so we'll have to wait and see on that. I personally believe and am leaning more on the lines of or towards the side of he will not be playing. Marvin Bagley was very vocal about the fact that he feels 100% and he's ready to play and ready to go, so he expects to be playing tonight against the Phoenix Suns. And with that being said, I fully expect another Kings win. Now, I don't think it's going to be as easy as this game was against the Magic, and the Kings are playing, or rather the Suns are playing a lot better than they were earlier on in the season, so they're not going to be a pushover by any means, but this is still a game that I expect the Kings to go out and get, regardless of the fact that it's on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. The Suns are now the rested team, and the Kings are not, so that's going to play some sort of factor. But these are games that if you want to be a playoff team, these are games that you need to go out and get. These are games that matter. The Kings would really benefit from building a win streak. So it's just the next piece of the puzzle, the next step in the evolution of this team. And I think Dave Jaeger did a masterful job last night with his minutes distribution. The fact that these starters played so little, they barely touched the floor in the fourth quarter, so they really get an extended rest heading into this game. That's certainly a good thing. So I would expect the Kings to be on the winning side and the winning end of this game here this evening. Tell me if you feel the same. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK at any time. You can email me mgeorge@sac.com. LocalMedia.com. Also, if you have a second and you want to head to either the iTunes store or wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's an area where you can leave a review and a rating for this podcast, please do that. It helps us out a ton, and we certainly would appreciate that. I'm working on getting some guests here on the podcast here for the remainder of this week and heading into future weeks. Also, I have to talk to you more later on this week about the next Fans Only podcast that we're going to be doing. There is so much that I want to still do here with the new 2019 year on the Locked On Kings podcast. And if you have any ideas or things that you would like to see or hear on the podcast, please let me know. That is all fair game. I take that into account. I read it. I listen to it. I try and respond to it as much as possible as well. So you can follow along with tonight's game with me on Twitter. And then, of course, tune in for tomorrow's episode of the podcast as we'll break down this Kings and Suns game and a whole lot more for the remainder of the week. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.